Today we're going to be looking at missions and doing our international mission sermon. Normally we have someone coming to share this message. This year I wanted to bring the message to you. Next year we'll have Dr. Sean Parker, the executive treasurer of our Mississippi Baptist Convention. He did such a great job about a year ago, and he'll be with us next year. Today I want to share from the familiar passage found in the first chapter of Acts. We're finishing a week of International Missions Week of Prayer, and this year it focused on the Philippines. It is interesting that we happen to have some international missionaries who serve in the Philippines here with us. They are finishing their furlough and will be soon going back to the Philippines. And we are grateful for them and them spending some time worshiping with us today. It's a small world in the Christian kingdom at a way, and it's an incredible world. Today I want to share with you a message I've entitled, And. Now that's probably the simplest sermon title I have ever come up with in my life. But it has a meaning, and I want to focus on that today. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, and this passage. And while they were with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Come together, they ask him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Today I While there are many problems in the world, they all stem from the greatest problem we have, and that is people don't know the Lord. They're lost. That is, they're living life on earth, but they don't know God who created them with a purpose, created them with spirit so they can relate to Him and know Him and communicate with Him and dwell with Him forever. They're lost. And out of that, the real problem. Hunger's a problem. Murder's a problem. Crime's a problem. Abuse is a problem. But where does it stem from? It stems from the core problem of being lost. They're not living for Christ. They don't know Christ. They don't know how to be saved. So you and I have been called to be on mission. In this passage, I want us to focus on the who of the mission we've been given. Well, who's part of this? Who's responsible for it? Well, again, Jesus was telling those approximately 120 disciples who had seen him resurrected for 40 days. He's there, preparing them for the next part of the kingdom work. He's going to ascend back to the throne room of God in heaven. His right and he is leaving with instructions on what needs to be done now. We're in this now. It's as if we're there on the Mount of Olives. It's as if we're seeing Jesus, the Savior, the resurrected Lord, having died for our sins. You and I receive this message. He says, when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses. Our mission is to make followers of Christ, disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them the things of Christ, the teachings of Christ, this revolutionary, otherworldly message that has come to us in Christ. We're responsible. You and I are called to be on mission. The who here is really two. It's the Holy Spirit. You cannot do God's work, God's way, without God's power, His personal presence. So it's Holy Spirit and you. You are the who. You and I are the ones He's speaking to. And He's saying, we're going to do this in cooperation. Holy Spirit presence abiding in your heart and soul, and you are the vessel, and you're going to be the witness. See, Jesus is speaking to His witnesses, those who've been transformed by His grace, those who have followed Him, who recognize that He's Lord and Messiah. That's who He's speaking to. And you and I are His witnesses. You see, the truth is, you and I stand between the great commission that God has given us and the great multitudes who don't know yet. We are there. We connect these two things, the church, those of us who have received Christ and been called out of this world to live for Christ. We're right there. The where of the mission. He makes it very clear, you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, for those people standing there outside of Jerusalem on this ridge called the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is to ascend, He's trying to help them understand their locale, their responsibility. Who is this mission for? Who's to hear the gospel? And He says, first of all, you're to take it to your friends and family and your neighbors. That's your Jerusalem, the people closest to you. For us, it's Brookhaven, Mississippi, right here, our Jerusalem in Lincoln County, our Jerusalem. You and I are called to make sure that our family members have heard what's changed our life, the message. They've heard it and seen it. So yes, First Baptist Brookhaven, we are responsible for Brookhaven. At the end of March, we're going to have another prayer walk. We used to do that before COVID. And we're going to do it again. And I think God is going to do a major movement in just prayer. We have a vision of who might be involved in that. And we prayer walk every street in this town. This is God's town. It's His city. You ought to be able to walk anywhere you want to walk on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. I'm not going to interrupt anybody's sleep or anything. I don't want to scare anybody, but 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, we're going to watch what God does and just some divine appointments and prayer and ministry that day. But the main thing is for us to see Brookhaven the way Jesus sees Brookhaven. And to pray for them and say, do I know the people in this town and who needs Jesus? So our Jerusalem is important, but there's another area, the familiar. And that's just a little step beyond that. Judea for them, for us, Lincoln County, Southwest Mississippi. We have every Sunday, we have people from Franklin County and Lawrence County and Capaya County and Pike County that come here and this is their home. This is their church. And our view reaches out to Southwest Mississippi. We want to be responsive to the needs for the gospel of people who need the gospel in Judea. And then the one area that stands out among the four areas he mentions is the forgotten. It's the Samarias of the world. The Jews had their Samaria. Unbelievers. They didn't believe in Yahweh God. They were idolaters. Now, God told them not to do that, but they disobeyed God and they did it, and they set up kind of a quasi-Judaism that was infiltrated with all of these other religions, false religions. Well, the Orthodox Jews hated the Samaritans, and they had great prejudice against the Samaritans. And it was a dividing line, so much so that when they traveled from the north down to Jerusalem in the south, when they traveled from the Galilee in the north to the, it was a lot easier to just go through Samaria. It was a lot quicker, a lot shorter. But they didn't do it. Orthodox Jews would not do it. They would go all the way around Samaria to go to the temple because they were so prejudiced, they didn't even look at Samaritans. Now, one of the great stories is in the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, where what does Jesus? Jesus said he had need to go through Samaria. And he took his disciples with him. And the disciples were shocked. They were absolutely shocked because they didn't go through Samaria. Jesus not only went through Samaria, but he ministered to a lady in the middle of the day who came for water at a well. And the Samaritan woman, she'd been married 5 times and was living with a man who was not her husband. Jesus told her the good news. And she was so excited, the Bible records her as the first evangelist of the New Testament. She went to her hometown, to all the men and the city leaders and said, "Hey, I think I've met the Christ. Come and see. He told me everything about my life and he gave me hope. Come and see. Could it be that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world?" The disciples looked at these people as forgotten. Jesus said, "No, these people need me, the Savior." We all have our Samarias, places we think, "Man, I'm not going through there. Crime is bad. Your car is going to get hijacked." All those places, those are Samarias in us. And believe me, you don't need to put your Christmas packages in the car in some areas. We get it. But guess what? In those same areas are people who need Jesus. And he said, be like Jesus, find a need to go to Samaria. They need the gospel. Of all of these places, it's not really a geographic area as much as it is an issue of dealing with the needs of people. And then the last one I call the foreign area. It's to the ends of the earth. Places you've never been, places you've never heard of, cultures you don't understand, languages you can't comprehend. Jesus said, go there. Go there. Go there and take my kingdom message that they need to hear. They need to turn from their fallen, broken, sinful ways and turn to me, the Savior, the hope. I want to take you back to God, your Creator. I want you to find His purpose for your life. I want you to experience love that transcends the love and lust of this world. I want you to have peace, peace that lifts your heart even in the hardest days. I want you to have hope. I want you to experience the great things of God and the great things of life. We need to take this message, the only message that will save the world, the message that Jesus is the Christ. He is Lord. We need to take it to the ends of the earth. You say, "Well, Pastor, I cannot imagine being one of those 120 people there, an impossible task." You imagine these Jews sitting there thinking, how are we going to take this? I mean, I can see us handling maybe Jerusalem. It's a big task, 100,000 people or more. And then Judea, okay, I know people in Judea, I can maybe, but Samaria, I'm telling you, that stopped the train right there. You know, they had to say, wait, Lord, I know you went through there one time, I heard the story. Now you're going, and now you want me to take your place? You want me to be the messenger? You want me to preach the message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Well, if that didn't stop the train, I guarantee you when he said, and I want you to take it to the end of the earth. Who? Us? Yes. 120. And over the centuries, that 120 has turned into millions. and millions have gone into the 100+ nations. And God has done some incredible work, but there is so much more to do. All right, we're back. Hey, don't keep doing it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, darling. When you got a cough, you got a cough. You go right ahead. What can I do? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I got responsibilities. I'm a dad, a husband. Maybe you're a wife and a mom. You got grandkids. Or you're still having kids. You got a job. You have a community responsibility, and they've elected you to run, and it's just overwhelming at times. And you want me to take the gospel to the ends of the world? How can I do that? Lord, how can we do that? You know how we do it? We do it together. You just do your part. At Southern Baptist, we reach the world through international missions. Every major continent, every major area, plus we added the deaf population, the millions and millions. We have a strategy to take the gospel to deaf people around the world. We have a focus because out of the almost 8 billion people on the planet, over half are unreached with the gospel. 4.6 billion people still need to hear the story you and I take for granted about Jesus. It's a big task. I know you're overwhelmed. I get it. We're on the budget offering and the this offering and the that offering and the building fund offering. I get it. I understand that. We're part of that. We budget all of that, and God provides. I don't know how He provides, but He provides. He just uses all of us together. He never asks you to do any more than what He has called you to do. He just asks you to be faithful in these areas. And you get to be a part of it. Yes, I understand. But to this lady in India who thinks if she gets in the Ganges River and washes in so many times that somehow she'll have forgiveness of the gods for at least 1 year till she can make her pilgrimage back to that river. But we reach out to people like in Africa who don't know the Lord, and some say, yes, Lord, Jesus is Lord. And I believe God raised Him from the dead, and I've received His salvation, and our missionaries baptize them in their rivers. Or we go to Europe and to the ancient cultures of Greece and Rome and Italy. And yes, the gospel has gone there, but in this generation, so many have not heard the gospel. They've only heard what the world has told them, and they need missionaries there to tell them about Jesus. And we go to Asia, Central Asia and South Asia, and there we tell the gospel, and people receive Christ, and we baptize them and commit to disciple them and help them become a missionary in their world, just like you and I are called to be witnesses on mission in our world. What can we do? I'll tell you what you can do. Be a faithful member to our church. Our church is a Southern Baptist Cooperative Program church. That is, when you give to your budget and you give a tithe to our church, a portion of that goes to the cooperative program. Now, I get, you're going to hear some people say, well, man, I give just to the missionary. Well, what happens if Jesus doesn't come in this generation? Who's going to train the next generation? Well, maybe we ought to think about Christian education. Cooperative program does that. What happens if you send a missionary over there and a typhoon comes in and wipes that country out? Man, it sure be good if you had a disaster relief program to help those missionaries help the people they love restore their houses. Southern Baptists have that. It sure would be good if children that were orphaned, excuse me, or left without parents, or maybe parents who couldn't take care of their kids, and those kids needed a place. Sure be good if man, what happens if we got live in a country and they're trying to pass laws? It'd be good if we had some godly people that could communicate to those people in D.C. and tell them, hey, the Bible says this. You know, it turns out we have an Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And can I tell you something about that? I hadn't always agreed on everything they've said. I've been a Mississippi Baptist for 37 years. But can I tell you something? On all the major issues, they have stood tall on pro-life. They have stood tall, and they represent us in the halls of Washington to say, while you're passing laws that are going to affect Southern Baptists and Christendom in America, you need to hear what the God says about it. Again, some of their leaders have gone off the campus for me on some things, but I'll tell you something. On the whole, they've done some great things. And I thank God there are people who've called themselves to that. Don't always listen to every radio show that's out there talking about Southern Baptist. You do some of your own homework about that. Come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about all this happening in Southern Baptist life. That's why we take the big picture. And yes, when you give at First Baptist Church, the Wiper Program, you give above the average. You give above the average of Mississippi Baptists. You give above the average of the national Southern Baptists. You say, well, Pastor, why do we give above the average? Because I believe you're not average. I don't believe First Baptist Church is average. And to whom much has been given, much is required. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to say, man, this we need to be a part of the people who are investing because time. We give a sacrificial offering, and you give above the average because you're not average. I've seen you. I've watched you. So that's why we do that. So be a faithful member. We give through international missions, national missions, association missions, state missions, and our own missions that God has given us, like Casa de Fe and Agape India. By the way, Dr. Sam and Jesse arrived safely this week. They're back in India, leading those 50 pastors to reach those people they're ministering to and their churches to. More than that, the reality is you give and you budget and you give sacrificially to those things along with the state offering. This past year, ...107,701 people were baptized. And 167,000 more were new believers. And we started over 22 churches. And over 182,000 church leaders received training. You've got to take the big picture. You and I can't do that by ourselves. We can't even do it as a church. But when you link up with 47,000 other churches, you can do something that impacts the world. And that's why we still give to international missions every December and through the first part of January to say, hey, we want to support our missionaries out there. Look what they're doing, and they're doing it, and they're sacrificing going to do that in the name of Christ because the world's still lost. And that's the greatest need they have. So what can I do? Be faithful. Be involved. Educate your children at church. And then go on mission trips. This year, we'll be going back to Ecuador in the first week of July. That trip is almost full. There's so much interest in that. But if you haven't heard about it, call the church office. Get with Pastor Jeff Doremus. Talk about that. See if you want to go to Casa de Fe and help go there and minister to those children. We also are looking at linking up with Brother David Williams to go to Africa. There's a trip opportunity in November. Brother David has been over 20 times to Africa and to Uganda, and we're looking at that opportunity. We're looking at a new place in Mexico through Dr. Ron Ballard that may not be a trip per se, but it's a new opportunity to link up with mission work there in that part of Mexico. We continue to support every month Lana Reese, the pastor, Pastor Pedro there, but there's opportunities there to go and learn about other cultures and how they need to hear the gospel. And also, you and I, one-on-one throughout the week, wherever we go, using the internet, using just our divine appointments with people to share how Jesus changed our life, to share the gospel of His grace, that you can't work your way into heaven. There's more to this life than just living here on earth. Death is not the end. It's just a doorway into eternity. And where will you spend eternity? With God in heaven or in hell with all those who've just said, I don't need God. I'll do my own thing. Oh, I talked about God and I knew about God, but I'd live my life for myself. Well, there's an eternity at hell you want to avoid. And God is saying, come to me. I love you. It received my grace that Jesus paid your price. Your sins have been paid for, and this gracious gift of salvation can be yours. Leave that old life and follow Christ. People need to hear that. You've experienced it. You need to share it and then teach others about the plan of salvation. Just teach them the simple plan of salvation. It's not hard. You know it. You know it. Invite them to church. Invite them to your youth group. Invite them to your thing. Let them know. It's not, well, I think I'll just work over here in Jerusalem. No. I think I feel more comfortable just working kind of, it's hard to work with my family. I think I'll work over here in just Judea. No. And I have responsibilities in Jerusalem and Judea. I have responsibilities in Judea and Samaria. I have responsibilities in Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem, and the end of the earth. And I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. But together we can. This past week, I was so excited to see this news that came across my feed. Last week, Brookhaven Academy girls basketball team set one state record and set another record in playing basketball. Now, you know I love basketball. I played a little basketball in my day. And so, love watching the Brookhaven High School Panthers, girls and boys. They're having a good season. But BA set two records. In a girls' game, they tied the record for three-pointers made in one game. They shot 20 three-pointers in one game. Tied a state record in MAI. The record for the player making the most in one game. Ella Smith shot 10 of the 20 three-pointers in that game. That set a record. Now, that's pretty cool for a high school kid. Out of all the games that's ever been played in MIS, in girls basketball, they set that record. That's pretty cool. And I got to looking at that roster. So you got Ella Smith. Her daddy is Dr. Chad Smith. And then you a young girl, I'll make sure I get her name right, because Mr. Ann Riley Thurman. Her daddy is Chris Thurman, banker. And then Lily Gates, you know Emma and Lily Gates, they play on that team. Lily made two, and a senior guard, Ella Brown, made one. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. Chad Smith, I saw Chad Smith play in high school. He played for BA basketball. He was an excellent basketball player, and guess what? He specialized in shooting three-pointers. Everybody knows the Fortenberrys love sports and can play basketball and everything else for that matter. Hugh and Chris and their athletic prowess. You may not know Ann Riley's daddy, Chris Thurman. He played basketball. Guess what he specialized in? Three-point shooting. And I think at one time held a scoring record for BA. He may still have the record. I don't know. Lily and Emma Gates' daddy, Michael Gates, could shoot the basketball rim. He played basketball. He was a three-point specialist. I saw him in men's basketball, had a competitive men's basketball. I saw him one night shoot over 50 points. He made one layup. His parents, kids. Now, there's some really made of the game. They loved the game. And they wanted their kids to love the game. And they wanted their kids to excel. Not only did they pass down the love of sports and the love of the game, they taught them how to play. They said, listen, this is how you're going to learn to shoot a three-pointer. And you're going to practice and practice, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to tell you something. Those young ladies had some incredible coaches, and some of their incredible coaches were their own parents when they were little teaching them. Guess what you and I have? The greatest gift we have to give to the world. The love of Jesus. To pass down and say, I am a witness. I once was lost, and I received the love of God through faith in Christ. And I want you to love Jesus the way I love Jesus. And I've been taught how to live this new life of faith and hope and life and love and holiness and righteousness and worship. And I want to teach you how to do it. I have played the game too, and it's called Christianity. And I want to pass this love. That's what we're called to do. And together, we can reach the world for Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that today, Lord, during this time of invitation, that if there are those who've yet to receive Christ, that they would respond. You've been calling on their heart. They know they need you to save them. They can't save themselves, but if they'll admit their need and place their faith in you, to follow you with their life, that, Lord, you will save them. All their sins forgiven, a new life will spring up out of their soul. Father, someone may need a church home. Others here have been feeling the need, Lord, to just stand and say that you're calling them to ministry, calling them to do something for God. Someone here may feel just so overwhelmed. Just one step today. Just take one of these steps toward Christ today and watch what He'll do in your life. Father, for those that are missionaries during this time of singing, Lord, we just want to pray for them and ask you to watch over them and use them and help them feel our support and our love for them today. Father, have your way during this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.